Can you hear the music?
Fuck yeah.
Had this made.
Oh yeah?
Oh fuck yeah. The pause coming up. Right?
Yeah.
Right? It's coming. Right there. Love that. All right, welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick, and shout out to Senjin Boychuk, you know, for that lovely melody. Like, man, I can't say enough good things about Senjin. You know, dude is small time. He's just you know, he, I don't know, what's a baller? A gamer? He's not a gamer. He's not a baller. He's a shredder. I don't know, not shredder from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle shredder, but like the guy is, he's a musician. But like, I'm trying to think of a cool name off the top of my head, and it ain't coming to me, and I'm just fumbling the ball here. Oh shit! Let's go! Shout out to Senjin Boychuk, man. Today's episode, man, I'm really excited. We've been working on this one for a while, man, and I've been texting the wrong number for quite some time because you know there was two different numbers there, right? Nobody has been getting back to me, and then I went to our messages today to look it up. You'd sent me your other number, and yeah. So I typed that one in, and we have a whole conversation going on there already, and I was like, oh, shit, I don't remember this.
Yeah,
shit.
It's been a hot minute.
It has been. You know, on today's episode, we got David from Brothers of the Hook. What's going on, brother?
Not much, man. Just living the dream.
Living the dream. The nightmares persist, but so do I.
Yeah.
Shit,
what's been up to you, man?
Oh, buddy, just, you know, working like a motherfucker. You know, I'm on the road crew right now. You know, I'm going back to the patch soon. You know, every summer I leave the patch and I go work on the road crew, and we do that so all our eggs aren't in one basket, to also break up the mental load a little bit, right?
Yeah,
I need it, and you know, I'm sure my family needs it, and I get to see them a lot more when I'm here too, right? They come and visit me on the road a lot. So yeah, man. That's yeah, awesome. Man. And you guys down in Texas, you been flat out or what?
Oh man, it's been crazy. I have my days off, but I mean, it's just pound it, go.
Yeah, it never feels like those days off are actually coming, right? When you're in the heat of the thing, right? Yeah. You know, you're in the heat of the moment. It's just go. And you're like, you know, the days off are coming, but when, right? And slowly but surely, you know, I find, you know, and when I look at it this way, it blows my mind, okay? So I go back to the patch. I worked there for 8 months. And then I work here the other 4 months of the year. And I look at it this way. The time it takes me to go back to the patch and come back here, basically 7 to 8 trips home.
Yeah.
7 to 8 sets of days off and I'm back here, which is fucking depressing.
Yeah.
Shit.
Oh yeah. I this coming February, I'll be in the oil field for 23 years.
That's crazy, man. I've been in it for half as long as you have. This year, I think, I don't even know, man. Is it already? Shit. It's either, it's already happened. My 12 years just passed.
Nice.
Like, just. Yeah, man, I remember very well.
I've been in cranes for 16 of those 23.
16 of 23 years, you've been operating the crane. Dude, you're just sitting in the seat, like, you know, looking up and moving over. But you're in the patch, right? So what, you do more of the, like, wireline and shit like that, or what?
Yeah, we do frac, coil.
Frac, coil,
occasional,
wireline,
occasional yeah. Compressor, occasional aiming plant, midstream plant, stuff like that. We get the – I like the occasional – break the mundane and go do some construction work. So I get the opportunity to do that every once in a while. So like set ACs, stuff like that.
You live for that oil field shit, though, right? Like, you know, like
that's where the money is.
You got into it for. That's right, man. That's where the money is. Show me the money.
I average about 98 hours a week. So.
There you go. Good for you, man. But most of it, hey, you know, like a lot of it's not physical, though, right? Like there's not a lot of physicality there, which a lot of it is mental, right? It's the mental game, right?
95%.
And like, so that's going to weigh on you like a lot too, right? Because like we talk all the time, you know, a lot of people in the patch, you know, they get into it and they think it's this kind of toughness. And it ends up being this kind of toughness, right? For you, like, that's got to be double the amount of mental load, right? Because, like, you know, you're already you got the mental load of being away and the grind. And then, you know, you got the mental load of, shit, I have to lift this heavy object. And, you know, that so mentally, like, that's got to be tough.
The mental load is probably about 95% when you're operating the crane. Because you got... You're sitting up there. It's kind of like a crow's nest. So you're watching this guy, but you got to watch this guy while you're watching that. So it's like you got all this stuff going on around you that you have to watch. But your main focus is your load. But you also got to keep everybody else safe around you. So it's
it wears me out.
I mean,
My wife was just here visiting in the hotel room. My main focus was my load too. You know, like it was.
That's TMI, brother.
Oh, shit, man. I'm currently sitting in this rocker this hotel has, man. I love this chair. It's so fucking soft, man. I can only imagine how many like loads of semen it has taken to it. But like, holy shit, dude. Like, it is soft. And I
won't get you a black light.
No. I don't want to even know. But like, really, like, fucking, it's comfortable. I don't even want to think about it because I'm sitting on it. So I've been sitting on it a lot, right? Yeah. So, like, I can tell you the things I've done in this chair since I've been here, and like, like, I don't even want to know what other people have done. You know.
So, I mean, I want to fire up the podcast back up, but I just haven't found any time. And I don't want to do it like the other one. I want to do it Brothers of the Hook podcast. So kind of solo, or maybe one or two guys. The other one,
you had like four or five guys
out of hand, man. The other one just got out of hand too fucking fast. And it was like, I got sponsors coming in, and it was like one or two guys wigged out and they ran away. It's like, dude, sponsors will come, the money will come. Just stop wigging out, dude. I mean,
you guys had a great podcast. You guys had a great podcast, man. You had people from, you know, you had crane operators and whatnot from all over the world coming in, man. And you had like four or five of you guys like that were like hosting that
at the end it was seven
co-hosts.
It was too busy for me. It was just I'd line them out, you know, hey, I need you to do this here. Oh, I'm not available. It was like, and then I had to jump in, and other guys had to jump in and save the program.
Yeah. Well, like
they're awesome guys. They're awesome guys. Yeah. I love them to death. But it's just, it got too fat, too big, too fast.
Yeah. So. I remember the last time we talked about you guys coming on my podcast, I think it was last summer. And I was on your podcast, and maybe this was it last summer? Last summer. Yeah, I was in Stettler, Alberta, and I was in the parking lot. That's right. My wife was visiting, and I went outside to the parking lot to record. And we recorded. I was coming on, and I think it was like a week or so before that episode was set to drop. You're like, yeah, it's coming out. Don't worry. And then like it never dropped, right? And then I never asked, right? Because you know, it was obvious what had happened. There was no more episodes after that one, and then mine just never came out. And I was like, that sucks, you know. And that's the price you pay or the risk you take when you're in the podcast game, right? Because podcasts, they come and they go, right? And you know, you just got to take that risk when you record one. It might not make it to air, or it might make it to air and disappear.
It was originally four of us when we started, and it was popular. As soon as we dropped it, it was like boom. Oh, we got this many viewers. And then we picked up Spotify, we picked up Google, and we picked up all these other spots. It was just crazy, dude. I was like, and then we had Lee Bear calling, I had Grove, I had all these crane manufacturers. And we had safety councils and all that stuff lined up. And some of them were, you know, like boomer generation, they couldn't figure out the process of getting on the podcast. When we're still doing audio, we weren't doing video yet. And it was just hectic. We had to cancel that one and move to another one. And then one or two of the other guys brought in other people. I'm like, man, it's getting too big. It's just chaotic.
So, yeah.
Need to keep it short and sweet.
Yeah, man. Like me, man, I'm by myself now, right? Like, you know, when we first met, there was a whole other podcast, and you know, there was a, you know, we had a co-host, or I was a co-host, and you know, and it was good till it wasn't, right? And you know, this way here, you know, hey, one man show kind of thing, you know, let's keep it simple. I only have to work around my schedule and the person's schedule that I'm interviewing, you know, and it works. It works good, man. This will be like, what are we on here? This will be like episode 87 or 88, man. We're 88 weeks in, 87 weeks in, man. We're motoring on towards the episode 100 here, man. And I'm excited. I'm excited where it goes, you know. And man, it's a grind though, right? It's a grind still for one guy, you know.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I want to start it back up so bad.
Yeah.
I really do. Just me, myself, and I, and then bring on like special guests or whatever, like this, or like an interview or whatever. And I get like my Facebook group. I got 12,000 members in there, so I could put it out there and see if anybody wants to come on.
Hell yeah, man! So the Facebook group, Brothers of the Hook Facebook group. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's sick, man. Like that, I don't think I knew you had a Facebook group.
Yeah, I've had it for 12 years now.
Wow, really? Wow, and like, do you still post in there? Like, even since the podcast, like,
cool. It's organic. It's alive on all on its own. I just go in there and moderate. I just go in there and moderate, and it has a life of its own.
That's cool, man. I like that. I like that.
I don't have to do anything to it. So it handles itself. And of course, my TikTok, you know, I got 47,000 TikTok members. So I just posted like TikTok's doing those, this day in history thing or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So I just posted a video, this day in history or whatever. There was a boom truck going through town, ripping out telephone poles and stuff. And boom, 68,000 views in like 4 hours.
Good for you, man. So,
yeah, I post on there regularly. I baby the TikTok account.
Yeah. I've been taking a little bit of a break this summer from posting on TikTok and Instagram. I'm still posting, just like, you know, sporadically. I'm not like, I'm not going hard at it. I'm 4 years into content creation now, you know, and like, I need to take a step back, and I'm putting more effort into the podcast and, you know, building my connections that way. And, you know, we're having a good time still though. Once in a while, I have lots of ideas for that, and I'll get back to them, when I leave here. Right. This summer's been really busy. The fall will be busy too, but like I kind of know how to, you know, it's a different kind of busy.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that. You know, I can't wait to get back. And you know, we're still posting, we're still having fun. Just we've taken a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
So it's
It's good to have that mental break. You know.
Yeah. Exactly, man. Exactly.
But then it's like when you go to get back into it, it's like.
Yeah, and you're gonna find that with the podcast, man, because you were hard into it. You were like balls to the wall with it, and then like, boom, it just stopped. Right, like you're gonna find the hardest part is just putting that is just getting it up and running and doing it. The hardest part is just doing it. Right, like you're gonna find, you know, like you're gonna get nervous. The camera will go up. You'll record. It'll be hard. And then at the end of it, you're going to be like, fuck, I could do that again, right? Let's go again. Let's find someone else.
That's how it was when we first started it. It was like euphoric. It was like, I'm addicted.
Yep.
But
I feel that.
When I stopped it, I was like, I feel so empty. So.
And that's going to be scary, man, if this ever goes that way, right? Like, there are times where this is exhausting and I feel like I need to put it away. Yeah. Right. But like, how will I feel if that time comes? Right. You know, like, holy shit, I feel empty now. Time to pick it back up again. Right. And then you know what that is. That's an addiction. Right. Then it's, you know, and,
well, you know how you fix that by, you know, like I thought about doing it this way too, as a seasonal kind of thing. You know, do it like 3 or 4 months out of the year and then put it aside and then pick it up for another season, another 3 or 4 months, you know.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I know a lot. I listen to a lot of podcasts and I know a lot of podcasters that do that. You know, they have seasons, right? Some of my favorite ones, and it pisses me off sometimes because I'll get to the end of the season and they'll be like, well, it's good. I'll see you in a couple more months. Right. And it's like, shit. Right. Yeah. We're grinding right now. We're grinding and we have an end goal, you know, we're not an end goal, but we have a goal. Like I might do something like that when I reach that, you know, like I want to get
subscribers up to.
So it doesn't tell me subscribers for some reason. I don't know where to look for that. You know, but we're up to, you know, roughly 20,000. Is it 20? Yeah. About 20,000 downloads in the last year. Right. And it only shows downloads. It doesn't show streams. Right.
On Spotify or
on all across all.
Okay.
All platforms. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So someone told me to get Spotify for podcasters. Right. And it tells you so much, but I don't know how to do that. I don't know where to look. I don't know how to sign up. I don't know how to do that shit. Right. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Just Google Spotify podcast. And it's an app that you download. And you register your podcast on Spotify, and it'll show up like Amazon Music uses Spotify. Your podcast will show up on there.
Well, my podcast shows up on Spotify. When I type in On the Throne podcast Spotify, it pops up already.
Yeah.
Right. So when it's really cool watching it progress though, because like when I first started typing in On the Throne podcast, it used to be a bunch of Game of Thrones podcasts that would pop up. Right. But now when I type that in, it's my podcast that pops up. Right. And I'm like, fuck yeah. You know, that's a good feeling.
I was like that. Like this here is one of my shirt brands. I mean, Camera's Reverse right there.
Do you lift? Yeah.
But it's, if you search up Google, if you go on Google and you put in Brothers of the Hook, you'll see all my designs. My shirt designs are down there. Those are my.
Fuck yeah. So. I love that. I love that, man. So
it's still you said on the top Google.
So you've been in the patch for 24 years, you said? 23 years. Okay. Wow, man. You're coming up on your quarter quell here. You know, like, I don't know. You probably don't know what a quarter quell is, but like you're coming up on like your quarter quell, which is you're a quarter of the way to 100 years, man. That's insane.
Yeah, a quarter of a century.
Right? What were you doing? And you said you've been doing the crane for 12 of those years, roughly.
16.
Wow. I'm way the fuck off. So So what were you doing for the other, you know, let's see the math here, 7 years. What would you do for the other 7 years prior to running, you know, cranes and stuff?
I started off in the patch doing wireline, and I was on the ground as an operator and worked my way up into the truck. I did that for about 6 years. And my last year in the truck, this is in, I can't remember what year, but the oil field crashed. So they said, all right, we got to lay you off. I said, well, put me back on the ground. No, can't do that. So I spent a year in the truck, and because I was low man on the totem pole, they had to lay me off. So when they laid me off, I went to a crane company because I ran little boom trucks for the wireline, and went to a crane company, became a rigger, and then here I am.
Fuck so, yeah.
I tried to get out of the patch 1 year, and I went and drove a garbage truck on a route for 1 year, and that oil field bug just bit me in the ass, and I had to come back. So
you can never leave the oil field, truly, man. You know, it's got a hold on me.
Yeah.
It's got a hold, man. And I don't think a lot of people understand that, you know, like, unless you're here, unless you've been here, a lot of people don't get that, you know, and it's hard on the spouses. It's hard on the wives, right? Like, they don't understand. They don't get what the hold that it has on us. And, you know, it shouldn't be that way where, you know, like, we work to live. We don't live to work. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, our job shouldn't become our identity. But us as oil field workers, you know, we take a great sense of pride in, you know, I work in the oil field.
Oil field, right? Trash,
I
and proud.
I work in the pad. Oil field, trash, and proud, baby, you know? And like, a lot of people don't get that, you know, outside of the industry.
Like, I made your makeup. The oil I get from the ground makes your makeup. So, but I mean, the petro industry is everywhere you look. Like the stuff in your hat, your shirt, the tires on your car, the plastic in your car, your TVs, your makeup, your glasses you wear on your face, these headphones, everything comes from the petro industry. So, I mean, it's a huge industry, and it's very lucrative.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
But getting back to families, I mean, my schedule is 21-7. And I get 6 weeks paid time off for the year, and then I get 6 weeks unpaid. So, but when I take my days off, I get 7 days off. I go home, and I'm like, I can't wait to get back to work. I do more work at home than I do at work. So it's like, I got to get out of here. I can't stand to be here. And that's just the nature of the beast. I mean, I wish it wasn't that way. I mean, I've missed so many birthdays and holidays and all that, but my family's provided for, my stuff's paid off. I own it 100%. So I don't owe nobody shit.
So. Yep. That is a part of the struggle of being in the oil field too, man. What you just said, you hit the nail on the head, bro. Cause like, I feel that way. And I thought for the longest time I was the only one for some stupid reason. And I felt bad for thinking that way, where it was like, I don't want to go home.
Yeah.
I want to go home. Okay. I'm stuck. I'm constantly stuck between not wanting to be here and not wanting to go home. Right. Yeah. So it's like, you know, and I feel bad about that. I felt terrible, right? And it's like, it's not what's waiting at home for me that makes me feel that way either. Yeah. It's like, you know, I go home and like, I'm thinking about what's happening there. Yeah. And I go back there and I'm thinking about home, right? And dude, that's hard. That's hard. That plays with your mind.
I've, out of my 20-something years, I've learned how to compartmentalize my work and my home. So when I'm home, I leave work at the door. Nobody's allowed to talk about my job. I don't talk about my job at home. Don't ask me about my job. Nothing. When I go to work, I don't talk about home. I leave home at the front gate. All my problems are at the front gate. I'll bring that with me. And when I talk to my family, like I'm in my RV right now, so when I talk to them, we'll talk about my job and blah, 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 because I'm at work, I'll talk about my job. But and then when I'm home, I find myself talking to my colleagues, my fellow crane operators, more than I talk to my family. And it's not fair to them. And I've been doing better at it of not doing that kind of stuff, but it's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. So I find it hard when I'm at, I tried to compartmentalize as well. I've tried that, you know. My wife just wants in. She wants in. She wants to know what I'm doing. Yeah. She wants. That's a whole part of my life. That's a big part of my life that she knows nothing about. Yeah. Right. So she's like, "Hey, talk to me about this." Right. And it's hard, you know, because I just want to forget about that place when I'm there at home. Right. And then when I go back, which is weird, we're all a bunch of grown men and we're back in camp and we're all hanging out together. And how's your wife and kids, man? How's home? Yeah. What's going on there, right? So it's like I want to talk about home and family life with work family, but I don't want to talk about my work family and what's going on with my work with my real family, right? Yeah. And that's – am I an asshole? I don't know.
No, but it's because you don't want – your family's more – the family, your wife and kids is more important than your job family. So – your subconscious is telling you that they're more important and you don't want to share this nonsense over here with your family because you just want to spend all your time with them while you got them. You don't want to bring outside influences in to take away from that attention that they deserve.
Yeah.
That's how I put it.
Yeah. Yeah. And which is also tough because, you know, outside influences, right? What are we doing right now? Right. The podcast. Right. I'm at work, but like I try to have enough recorded and put in the bank. So when I'm home, I don't have to record any.
Yeah.
But sometimes there's a guest that I've been really dying to get. And they message me like, "Hey man, what are you doing right now? I'm free." And it's like, "Hey babe, I have to go downstairs. I have to go and record this podcast." And she gets to know it. She's like, "Hey, you know, you know?" And I'm like, "Listen, it's only once, right?" And then, you know, sometimes in the 7-day period I'm at home, that could happen a couple times, right? And it's like, well, shit. And there have been times where it's like, "Hey, man, I appreciate that you're free right now, but I'm not. I can't."
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, it happened when I was home last week. Chris Barber and I have been working on another episode together, you know, planning it. And I had no plans that night. I was just going to hang out with my wife and my kids. And Chris Barber messages me and he's like, "Hey man, what are you doing right now?" I'm like, "Oh dude, just hanging out at home." He's like, "You're free to record in a half hour?" And like, usually I ask my wife, but this one was like, "Yup, I'm free." Let's go. And I didn't ask my wife. I told my wife, right? I'm like, "Hey babe, I got a podcast to record." And she was like, "Oh, okay." You know, like, and then, you know, when I told her, and you know what though, like, fucking man, we also have to have hobbies when we're at home too, because all we do is work, right? Yeah. So, you know, we also have to, we also have to carve out some time for ourselves too when we're at home.
Yeah.
Like, yes, your family's important. You don't get to see them a lot.
Yeah.
But like, we also need time to ourselves where we're not working and we're not with our family.
I take like, on my 7 days off, I take the first day is my day to unwind and wind down and relax back into family life. And then I take 5 days 5 days to do whatever they want, fix the house, projects, watch TV, play games, whatever. On the seventh day, it's wind back up for work. So it's getting all my stuff together. I got to plan this. I'm going to drive 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it is, get back to the job or whatever. So that's my plan on my days off.
Hell yeah, man. I kind of do the same thing, you know. Like, I give me a day, just fucking give me a day, babe. You know, like, please, I beg you. Yeah. You know, but you know, plans change and things change, and you know, like, sometimes I don't get that day, right? And you know, whatever, it is what it is. It is what it is. You know, like, I take it as it comes, anyways, and you know, I do a lot for myself, podcast and content wise. So you know, like, I can't really ask for too much, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you get it when you're driving and you drive a vacuum truck or.
Yeah.
So you're on the road most of the day. Here and there, so it you got all that going through your head. You know, you got to watch traffic. You got to watch if you got a swamper with you, or whatever. You got to take care of people around you and your coworkers and all that stuff. So you got to have time when you go on your days off. You got to have time to get that out of your head.
So here's the thing: I am the swamper, right? I'm going to be a driver here this winter, but like I know what you mean. As a swamper, I'm forced to do everything for half the pay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So yeah, for half the pay of what the driver makes, I'm forced to do it all. And yeah, I'm getting dirty and covered. Yeah. So like there's same thing though with the driver, you know, the drivers, you've got to pay attention all the time. The swamper, I can have a nap in the truck, but that's because that nap, I'm paying for that nap when I get out of the truck. Right.
Yeah.
That nap comes at a fucking price.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, you know it.
Yeah, like me, I'm in the crane. And it's like, depending on what I'm doing, I could be doing a compressor. A compressor, you know, they weigh whatever, various weights. The heaviest one I've ever picked up is 180,000. So, I mean, it's like all my focus is on that. And that, by the end of the day, I'm like, I'm worn out. Even if it takes me 3 hours to set that compressor, my whole day is like, I'm worn out. I got to take a nap. Or I gotta go home. I gotta rest. Or I gotta do this. I gotta unwind. So I don't drink. So I don't take my crap out on alcohol. So, but
yeah,
my release is gaming. I play Xbox, basketball, football, stuff like that.
Hold up. You play Xbox? Xbox is for underprivileged Asian children, man. Like that's what the less fortunate Asian children play, right? You got to go get that PlayStation, brother.
I own every console made.
Yeah.
Yeah. My son has a PlayStation. He plays it at home. I just take my Xbox. I like playing my Xbox. My daughter has the Nintendo Switch. She's got. We got a retro Nintendo Entertainment System with like 50 games on it that they came out with, the Sega Genesis, the retro, all that good stuff. So,
okay, favorite game of all time, what is it?
Man, my favorite game that I've bought every year religiously is Madden Football.
Okay, all right.
If I had to pick a second, it would be Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, GTA 6 comes out in like fucking, what, a year? Dude, my wife and I don't even really play video games anymore. But like we just bought a PS5 not long ago. Yeah. Well, maybe a year and a bit ago now, I guess. I bought it so I could play Planet Coaster, which is like the successor to Roller Coaster Tycoon. Oh, okay. And man, like I play the fuck out of that. But like we're getting ready. We've talked about it. The PlayStation came with God of War Ragnarok, mm-hmm. and we got right into that. We're like, fuck yeah, this is so cool. I'd never been into that kind of shit before. But yeah, we're getting ready for GTA 6. When that comes out, we will wait for it, and we're going to play the fuck out of it. So
I had to commandeer my son's PS5, because I've played every God of War, too. So I had to commandeer his PS5, take it to work with me, so I could play the God of War.
Fuck yeah, man.
He's like, no, I want my PlayStation back. I want my PlayStation back. I'm not done yet.
We're not done yet. We just beat Thor. We earned Thor's respect. Yeah. And then because you can't kill Thor. So we beat Thor and we earned his respect and he walked away. And then I can't remember what else he did there, but then we stopped. We're playing a Harry Potter game right now. The Hogwarts Legacy game. Fucking yeah. Love that game. I learned some magic spells and shit like that. I did my thing. Now I'm building roller coasters and theme parks, man. I'm like, this is let me be. This is my element. I used to play that shit back in the day on a laptop, and I got that game in a cereal box.
Oh shit!
Yeah, how old are you?
Have you played Cityscapes?
I played like Cityscape, like fuck yeah, where the little aliens fucking come and they destroy your town.
No. That's SimCity.
SimCity, that's what it was.
Yeah, Cityscapes is on Steam, and it's like a realistic city builder, and you just build your cities and stuff like that. It has cities all over the world, but it's not like SimCity. I love the shit out of SimCity. The Sims I can't stand. SimCity, I'll sit on there all day long. Civilization, the new Civilization's coming out too. I play that a lot.
So. Yeah, I've tried to get into that, and I don't know. Maybe I could do it again now, because when I was younger, I couldn't play games like that.
Yeah,
I was in Call of Duty and NHL, mm-hmm. and that's all I played were those two games for the longest time.
Yeah,
right. And I couldn't do anything else. But now, man, I'm getting into Ragnarok. I'm getting into Harry mm-hmm. Potter, and I'm getting into this and that. So I'm maybe I'll try Civilization. That's the one where you go through the different timelines of history, right? Napoleon was on the cover, and
you could play different world leaders, and you get a city, you get a world map, and it's basically Risk on steroids, and you just conquer everybody.
Fuck yeah.
And you could get different win scenarios, like religious, political, domination, all kinds of stuff. There's different ways to win it. So.
Fuck yeah, man. So, how old are you?
50.
50. Shit, dude. So, what did you do before the patch, man? Because, there was a couple years there where you just weren't in the patch.
I was in the Navy.
In the Navy? You know what they say about the Navy, right?
Don't even start that shit.
Don't worry, man. Don't worry. I ain't going there, bro.
I've heard it all. So,
I'm pretty sure I was in the Navy. Village people got a song about the Navy.
Yeah, I was on a mine hunter, so sweeping for water mines.
That's so cool, man. How does that what you got a net or what? Or they just
it's there's two different class ships. There's a mine hunter and a mine sweeper. So the mine hunter has an underwater sonar, and it searches for mines on the floor, all kinds of stuff. It has a little, and then you have your mine sweeper, which carries a cage behind it that rattles in the water. And any sound-activated mines will go off. Any contact mines, when they hit the cage, will go off. We also have an MH-51 Sea Dragon helicopter that carries a cage behind it, and it'll sweep for mines, too. So, and then the contact mines, my job on the boat was to run the ROV. It has big old pinchers on it. Goes in, it clips the moor chain link's probably about that big. Clips that chain link and it pops up to the top and they shoot it with a 50 cal, blow it up.
Shut up. That's so cool. You got the, did, how many of those did you blow up over your time there?
Maybe 20.
That's so fucking cool. Do you feel it? When you shoot, you're just is it a rush of adrenaline when you blow shit or something like that? You're like, oh, boom. And then right.
Shot a shark. And you just shot a shark too.
That's cool.
So, yeah. Well, when you're on the boat, they have swim days. So, and then you have two guys standing on port starboard doing shark watch. So someone yells out shark. Go, everybody swims back to the boat, and you have a shark for dinner.
Fuck. Good for you. So, like, where were you mainly? Where were you mainly, like, stationed? Like, you just all over the world or what? Like,
well, boot camp was in Great Lakes, Illinois. Great mistakes. And then they shipped me to Texas, to Ingleside, to do my C school, mine school. And then you have your A school. I went to Seal Beach, California for that. That was a shoulder mount Stinger missile to shoot aircraft. And then after C school, I went back to Ingleside. That's my duty station. Got assigned a boat. And then we went to Okinawa, Persian Gulf. I went to Bahrain for a year.
That's so fucking cool, man. Like, man, dude, I'm so glad I asked that fucking question, man. Like, man, like, you never know. We got David, crane operator, been in the patch half his life, pretty much. Boom. What else did you do, dog? Fucking blew up mines underwater. Like, shut up, dude. Killed a shark with my bare hands.
Oh, shit. Yeah, we have training days where they'll tow a ship. Like, contact mines, or there's different kind of contact mines. There's, like, ones with a lead. If that lead touches the ship, it'll blow the mine. The mine could be 50 yards away and still sink the ship. So
shut up.
So the ship will be going across, and it hits that wire. And because the ship has a wake behind it, the cavitation from the propeller and all that stuff, that mine will blow, and it follows that cavitation, comes up underneath the ship, blows the ship up out of the water, breaks the keel, and the ship just sinks.
And there's no, it kills everyone on board.
If they don't get off yet.
Fuck.
Yeah, we've had those wild. Where we towed them through. We've towed them through and have cavitation and stuff, and that mine blows and it follows that wake. And it's not the explosion that gets you unless it's a physical contact mine. You know, the ones that everybody's familiar with has all the spikes and stuff.
Yeah.
If those hit you, it'll blow a hole in the side of your ship. But the ones I'm talking about are sneaky, because you won't even know it. You hit that wire, and that mine blows. Like I said, it could be 50 to 100 yards away. It makes a bubble under the water. So that bubble doesn't come up. It follows that cavitation of that propeller, and then that bubble comes up underneath your ship. And it's the bubble that blows your ship up out of the water.
Man. Did you hear about that town in the UK, I think in the last couple days here? They just had to evacuate it because they found an unexploded ordnance from World War II.
Nice.
Dude, that shit happens so much. You know, that happens a lot, man. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's fucking wild. We're still finding shit from like 80 years ago. 80 years ago? Something like that. 80 years ago, we're still finding shit.
When we were in the Persian Gulf, Saddam Hussein put a bunch of mines in the water. He just dumped them in there to keep us out. Well, he got them from the Russians. So the only ones he could activate were the physical contact mines. All the other ones with electronics and stuff in it, they have to be programmed to certain cavitations and turned on and turned off and stuff like that. But the only ones he could activate were the ones with spikes on them. So it was annoying. So we cleared out all the physical contact mines, cleared all those out. And then we had to go in and we had to physically neutralize all the ones that he didn't turn on and still act like they're live. It was a pain in the ass. And if we're sweeping a minefield, it's so sensitive, they'll see a Coke can on the bottom, a sonar. You have to send that ROV down to inspect it, make sure it's not a mine. And it's just a Coke can. They got torpedo mines, moored mines, contact mines, all kinds of different mines.
Wow, man. That's insane, man. Fuck. So, like, how many? So, you blew up at boat 20. How many did you see?
How many what did I see? Mines?
Yeah.
Oh man, a lot. Maybe 500.
You have any close calls?
Yeah, every time EOD brings one on board, they'll either dismantle it in the water or they'll bring it on board and dismantle it.
Man, how not smart is that? You're just like, hey, man, I'm bringing this on board. We're going to dismantle it on board. Okay, or, and hear me out, how about we don't do that?
Yeah, it was a hair-raising situation every time they brought it out. But like,
wild, man.
One more story on this, and we had an EOD on board. I was in my rack. I'm a first class petty officer by now, and we all have our billing. And I'm in my billing, and this third class comes in. He's like two ranks lower than me. He comes in and says, "That's my rack now." I said, "Over my dead body it is." And I said, "You ain't taking my rack. You have his rack. You're not taking mine." And I pointed at the seaman's rack. I said, "You have his, not mine." "Oh, we'll just take it up with the skipper." Well, me and the skipper are like, and we take it to the skipper, and says, "You ain't taking his rack. You can take the seaman's rack, but you're not taking any of my first class or second class petty officers' racks." So he stood up for us.
Fuck yeah, man. That's awesome.
So we take care of the ship. Semen. They take care of us.
Speaking of semen, do you know what viscosity is?
Which kind of viscosity?
We're talking about the thickness of a load here. Downhole. Where I'm going with it, though, hey, where I'm going, there's a method, man. So the podcast is sponsored by the Mudman, and the Mudman deals in, you know, the thickness or the viscosity
of mud,
of mud on the rigs.
Drilling mud.
Drilling mud, exactly. Yeah. And so the podcast is sponsored by the Mudman, and shout out to the Mudman, www.mudmanmarket.com for all your drilling fluid and laboratory testing equipment needs. Man, I love that guy. You know, usually I can't find the little piece right now that to plug into my laptop, but I have a mic and a headset that, you know, usually makes the podcast sound pretty good. You know, and he supplied that to us, you know, way back in the day. Now we could say way back in the day. And recently, this is like, I don't know how many episodes in we're in on this now, but I'm recording it on my MacBook Pro, and he supplied the MacBook Pro for the podcast. Nice. You know, I can do all my editing here. I can record here. Yeah. I can create trailers here. I can do a lot of cool shit that I haven't actually had the time to sit down and figure out yet. But that time is coming up where we're going to figure out a lot of cool shit that we can do with this laptop here soon. But so far I've discovered, hey, we can record and we can edit. And that has been huge. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, man, and so the Mudman, man. Shout out to him.
So is it water-based or oil-based?
Well, my semen, or what are we talking about here? Shit.
The mud, man, the mud. Yeah, I've been around the rigs. I've been on rigs doing wireline. I've been on rigs doing pipe recovery. I've been around it all. About wireline types.
What is the biggest thing you've picked up? Like, you know, you're like, I got up, and was it, you know, too heavy for what you had, or was it good, or what?
The heaviest pick I've ever done was probably, it was almost 200,000.
Okay.
So it was fun. It was two crane pick. So
that's got to be a lot of work, eh? Like a two-crane pick, you know, you got to have so much communication and trust there, you know, like, hey, man, I'm going up. You got to go up, go down a little bit at the same time. Like,
well, it's basically you got two cranes picking a load, but you only have one flagger. You got to make sure you only have one guy giving signals, and he's communicating with both, and he's using both his hands, and he's telling this crane to do something and this crane to do something else. So it's really a trust issue with that rigger, that he knows what he's doing, and the other operator. Because if the other operator wigs out and freaks out, does something that he's not supposed to, both cranes come down.
Man, that's got to be crazy for the guy up here, hey? The signaler on the ground, because he's like, and man, his brain's got to be working like really well. Shit, dude, I don't think I could handle that.
We were in the yard. We had to pick up one of our cranes. It was broken down, so we had to pick it up. And the other crane was like right here, and I'm over here, off to the side a little bit. So we had to pick it up and we had to turn it. So he had to pick his end up and go a certain way. Well, the other crane, the assist crane, like my crane, would be in free swing. So wherever he swung, my crane would swing along with it. And all I had to do is hoist up and boom up and boom down. So to get it through there, it's a concert, and if it's done right, it's awesome. It looks awesome,
dude. So crane operating and whatnot. I had I don't know if you know who Morgan Bosch is. She's on TikTok and Instagram. She's a crane operator, works for Mammut, and she's been doing it for a few years now. She's pretty big on there and now anyway. And like, I had her on, and she got me right hooked into the whole crane thing. Like for a portion of time last winter, and maybe even now a little bit, I was so like hooked on it and whatnot. And like, I was dead set that, hey man, I'm going to be a crane operator. I'm going and I'm doing this. Right. Yeah. And like, if the opportunity presented itself, and I know I could chase that opportunity and probably do it, but like, when that opportunity arises again, I don't think I could say no to it.
It's rewarding.
Oh, I talked to a crane operator on site this past winter, man, and he showed me his pay stub. Fucking right, it's rewarding.
Yeah. If I could give you one piece of advice, if you're really going to chase this avenue, start off on the ground, learn your rigging, learn how hitches work, and when you rig something up, where it's going to render, and learn your crane signals, all the ins and out of that. But at least 6 months to a year on the ground, learning the trade. And then I don't know how y'all do y'all's licensing up there. Here, you're supposed to have so many hours in the seat before you get your license.
Yeah.
But you can go take your written test, and then you can go, it's like a learner's permit. So you go take your written test, get in the seat, if somebody will let you in the seat. There's a lot of job scared operators out there. But get in there and practice, or if you're in your yard, jump in the fucking crane in the yard. Run that crane in the yard as much as you can, get as much time as you can. And then go take your practical test. I don't know if y'all have practical tests or not, but we actually have to get in the crane and do an obstacle course and all that crap. So I did it all on my own. I bought it myself. No, I don't owe nobody nothing. Some guys pay $10,000 at a crane school to be a crane operator, or a stick puller is what I call it. They quit McDonald's, go to school, become a crane operator. They forget the most important step is to learn on the ground, learn how to rig. Because if you don't know how to rig, somebody's rigging up your load, how are you going to know if it's right or not? So that's my opinion. I rigged for 6 years on the ground. So. And I'd jump in a crane every time I could in the yard, move stuff around in the yard, play with it, whatever. And then out in the field, I jumped in the crane, pull off lubricator for wireline or whatever. And the company I was with wouldn't break me out. I kept telling them, I'm ready. No, we need you as a driver rigger. That's where you're best at, blah, blah, blah. So, okay, I quit. I'll come back and we'll get it for you. I'm already in a crane. The company I went to put me right in a crane. So my first job was coil tubing. So picking up projector. Yeah.
I read something the other day that said if you work for a company for more than 4 years and they haven't moved you up or given you a raise, it's time to walk. It's time to walk, right?
This company I'm at with now, I've already had 4 raises.
There you go. Shit, yeah, good for you.
If you stay in a job too long and they haven't moved you up, then you've hit your ceiling. So it's time to move on.
Yep, absolutely. How long you worked for this company for?
This is my second time in this company. In February will be 4 years, second time. So a total of 8.
Good for you, man. That's, hey, you got your money, you know what I mean? And that's, get that money, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I got a question for you, and this is going to throw you back a little bit, but this is one of my favorite parts of your guys' podcast, Brothers of the Hook, right? I'm going to throw you on the spot here, okay? Give me a picking in the blind.
Picking in the blind?
Give me a picking in the blind, brother.
One that we did?
One that you did, or one that you just come off the top of your head and give me a picking in the blind?
Oh, man. There's so many good ones, man. I was proud of that when we came up with that, dude. It was,
hell yeah, man. It was good. It was really good, man.
Then we had the Jesus. Yeah. I think the best one I did was with my guy from the UK. That's the best one I had. And it was beans and toast.
Yes.
Yeah, everybody eating beans and toast.
Give us that one. Drop that one, man, because like I remember that one.
Yeah, so we had four guys on that podcast. And Crane Brain, that's his name, Crane Brain.
Yep.
He said, "All right, so we already planned all this to begin with," and everybody's like, "Nah, that's freaking nasty." And guys come over there, and they, first one was Kenny. He got his beans and toast. It's like, not bad. And then I think Travis was on there. He tried it. He's like, "Nah, that's nasty." And then I don't think I was on that podcast, but another guy tried it. He liked it, and it was just a weird culture shock from those. And then I was on one where I don't know if you've ever had it, but it was banana sandwiches.
I've had that. I don't like bananas.
It was bananas and mayonnaise on a sandwich.
Yeah.
It's good, dude. It's very good. I grew up in Florida. It's a delicacy there. It's a staple for Floridians.
So, okay. I should have started off with this. Explain what the picking in the blind was. Explain the concept behind the idea, dude. I should have started that way, but like
picking in the blind,
I loved it.
Picking in the blind is like because our podcast is all about cranes, so we're talking all about cranes and blah 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 blah, and then at the end of the segment, it's a pick in the blind segment. Just a little off the wall topic. Doesn't have to be. It could be about anything. It'd be about how you wipe your ass or how you put your socks on or food or whatever. So these guys came up with beans and toast. I came up with banana sandwiches. Another guy came up with Star Wars, Star Trek. So that's pretty much picking the blind. It's a way to wrap up the show, get out of the crane mentality and just goof off. It's a way to cut loose and have fun, laugh, whatever. So it was really popular.
How do you wipe your ass anyway? This is a hot topic, man.
Two fingers? Two fingers.
Okay.
I got pretty big hands.
You do, yeah. So this has been a pretty hot topic with me for a couple of years now. Okay, so like, Well, I always find myself on this topic of how you wipe your ass. And I get up, right? I stand up, I put my leg up on the seat and I bend and I wipe, right? A lot of people, they sit down and they're still sitting and they like lean over. Oh God. So I'd say back to front, right? Like, bro.
Get it all over the balls. Fuck it.
So a lot of people will sit down and just like lean over and like wipe that way. Dude, I can't do that. I've tried that. I get the toilet seat full of shit every time.
Oh,
dude, every single time, man.
Every single time.
I like to bend down. Yeah, dude. Yeah. I like to bend down and I like to like, I get right up in there, right? I stand up. I put my leg up on the seat. I bend over. My butt is like spread wide eagle and I just fucking like get in there, right? Sometimes like I need two or three pieces, man. Like an excavator. Holy shit. Yes. Dude, and I don't know, man. I made a video on it one time of me trying to do it while sitting down. And like, how do you guys do this shit? Like I couldn't figure it out. I don't understand it, man. But like, it's a hot topic.
Now, have you seen like 48 ounce tumblers, like Yeti tumblers?
Yep.
How big they are.
Yeah.
So this is a 48 ounce tumbler.
Okay.
And I can wrap my hand almost all the way around it.
Look at those mitts. Man, even if I had a big dick, you'd make it look small. So like, you know.
I make my own dick look small, man.
No, good for you, man. Good for you. My brother's got a 12-incher, man. Do you think you can make that look small or what? He is gay, so he might let you do it. But
he's on his own there, man.
Oh shit! But yeah, man. You remember?
Here's a little water bottle.
Oh, that's yeah. That's more like it. That's more like it. Do that again. Do it again. Show us again. Do it again. Look at that. Look at that firm grip on that water bottle.
Yeah.
That's about 12 inches, isn't it?
I don't know. I measured my hand from pinky to thumb, and it's like 10 and a half inches across.
Dude, 10. Bro, I'm like fucking 5. God damn, man.
That's about 10 and a half from pinky to thumb.
Good for you. I wouldn't want to get hit by that. Shit. Yeah, no, man. Do you remember what my picking in the blind was when I called Jesus, when I was on your podcast? Like I threw out one there. I spent like a whole like 3
days. Yeah, I remember it, but I don't remember what it was. I remember you did one.
Okay, you're at the grocery store at Costco, right? You're at Costco. And like, you know, you get your grocery cart, you bring out your groceries or whatever, you put your groceries away. Are you putting that cart away or are you leaving it wherever it is?
Yeah. What am I doing? I put my carts back.
Yeah, I got to. I got to put it away. You know, no matter how far away that buggy cart or storage buggy thing bobber is, I go out of the way. I got to put it back.
Right? I hate that shit when they hit my truck or whatever, man. I purposely park in the back of a parking lot. And when I come out, there's 5 cars around me. And I'm like, why? Why?
Something I started doing recently is because I started seeing it pop up more at grocery stores is seniors parking. And if one's open, I'm parking there. You know, like, fuck yeah. I'm getting ready for fucking like early bird specials and arthritic massages and shit like that, bro. I'm 35, man. I'll be there sooner or later. I'll be there, man. You know, like I'm fucking parking in that and mother's parking, man. Even if I don't have my kids with me, I still have kids. Fuck it. I'm parking in the mother's parking. I'm parking in seniors parking. I can't, they took away handicap parking availability for me, right? Like I'm not allowed to park there. That's a fine. No one's saying I can't park in the mother's parking or the seniors parking. No one's fining me for parking there. I'm parking there. You can't tell me what I am.
Take your walker away.
Jesus. Shit.
That's bad.
Yeah, man. Fuck yeah, man. Oh, shit. Fuck yeah. Working tomorrow?
I'm working. We're doing coil
Nice.
tubing right now. We just started the job today. So we got three wells. We didn't do shit all day today. My night guy's pissed off. He's got to rig everything up. So I'm like, okay, have a nice night. So he's got to rig it all up. And then we got three wells. The middle well, we got a fish. They lost tools in there, so we got to fish and tools out. But we got to drill. We got drill plugs on top of the fish, come back out, put fishing tools on, and then go back in and fish it out. Take those off, put the mill back on, go in and mill the rest of the way out.
Yeah.
But on that one, there's one well here, and then the middle well is where we got to fish. So we're gonna set up on this well and then hop over to the inside well, and then when we're done with those two, because we got to scope the crane out holding a load. Add some lubricator, all that stuff, just to get on that middle well. So
Fuck yeah.
that's a hair-raising event right there, all on its own. Scoping out with a load
Awesome.
on. So
Well, but I don't want to keep you too long, right? I don't want to keep you too long there. You got to work in the morning. I got to work in the morning. It's getting a little late. I like to wrap the podcast up with one last question. And I'm sort of like, your guys is picking in the blind towards the end of your show. Sort of inspired my end of my show, right? Like it did. It did. It
That's
really did.
awesome.
I wanted to add something to the show to be like, all right, good way to end it, good way to, go out. Right. And so I thought back to a question my boss had asked me during orientation one year. And we've been doing this now for we're 87 episodes in. We've been doing it for fucking most of them now. So Mount Rushmore has four of the most influential people on the rock, right? If you could have your own Mount Rushmore, four people that you look up to, inspired to be you, that have inspired you, who would they be and why? They could be real, not real, dead, alive.
Jesus.
The whole point of the podcast, we spent the whole podcast talking about jerking off and semen and fucking, your fucking mitts that
Now
make dicks look
you want to
small.
get all serious.
Now it's time to get serious, boy.
One would have to be my grandfather. I looked up to him most of my life. I lost him when I was 19, so looked up to him a lot. My mom would have to be up there. She's a major influence in my life. Man. Shit, I mean, I would have to go maybe with the guy that trained me how to run cranes. I'd have to put him on there. And then man, I'd put Ronald Reagan up there.
Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan.
Why Ronald Reagan?
He's one of our most popular and most successful presidents.
Okay, like what did he do that really stood out from the rest? Like that's interesting.
Well, his Reaganomics. He almost got us out of debt. He was shot, come back, finished his presidency. Finally died of Alzheimer's. So, but he started in movies, went into governor of California, had California running right, and then all the liberals came in and screwed that up, and then became president. So
Fuck yeah.
he's one of my favorite presidents.
Chase Barber said Teddy Roosevelt one last summer. Teddy Roosevelt would be up there. He'd leave him on there. And you know anything about Teddy Roosevelt, right? Like Teddy Roosevelt was an incredible human being, and there's a whole history lesson on that episode about fucking Teddy Roosevelt. Yeah,
Oh yeah,
man.
Teddy Roosevelt's a good guy.
Fuck yeah, man.
He was a little screwy, but he was good.
Well, usually the visionaries usually are, right? Like,
Bay of Pigs.
fuck Fuck, man.
Yeah. Man, we've been going after Cuba forever.
Well, now we've been going after Russia forever, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be my four.
Fuck yeah, man. That's a solid four. A solid four, man. Man, I appreciate you coming on, you know, and we're going to have you back again at some point, you know, maybe when you get your podcast up and running again and, you know, we'll do a crossover episode or something. We'll talk about, you know, where you plan on going with it, what you're doing with it and stuff like that. And man, I'm really excited. We're steamrolling towards episode 100 right now. And my target guest is Mike Rowe. So for episode 100.
Dirty jobs,
man. I'm trying. I tag them everywhere, every chance I get. Still nothing. I've been doing it almost a year now. So
yeah, one day we've tagged him. We've tagged him. I actually got a hold of his publicist, and they never got back to me. So
damn, man. You know, there's not a lot of
We were that fucking close.
Yeah, there's not a lot of blue collar podcasts out there, man. You know what I mean? There's a lot of podcasts. But, you know, blue collar podcasts, like there's more and more coming. But, you know, with our schedules and our lifestyles, it's hard to maintain an upkeep. Right. So, you know, so I think Mike Rowe would be, you know, he represents us. Right. He is us. So it'd be good to try to get him on. So,
yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Well,
another one
David,
would be what's his name?
Fuck yeah.
What's his name? Can't remember his name. He was on with Dr. Drew a while. What's his name?
Oh shit. I don't know. I don't think I've seen that.
I can't remember his name. I'll text you later when I remember it.
Yeah.
As soon as I leave the podcast, it'll come right to me.
Oh, of course. That's how it always works.
Yeah.
Shit. Well, buddy, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it, eh? And you know, thanks for being a part of this journey with me. You know, as we steamroll towards 100 and the future of what we're doing here. Who knows where it goes? And you know, I'm excited. So
yeah. There's that Canadian. I heard that A.
Hey, I'm about to eat some maple syrup over here too. Canadian bacon.
I love maple syrup. I love it.
Ride my moose to the outhouse.
Watch out for the Mounties.
Yeah, well, fuck the Mounties. The Mounties are actually like fucking corrupt as hell. So.
Oh yeah, I believe it. So are you in French Canada or?
There's no fuck that. Fuck that. I am out west. I am like fucking Albertan. I live in Alberta. I'm from Ontario. Still not French Canadian, but like, oh my God. It all depends on what you define as French Canadian. In Quebec? Are we talking Quebec or are we talking like the actual French speaking New Brunswick
people?
Like,
so you're part of the King's Canada.
King's Canada? Fuck sure. Let's call it that, man. I'm where all the oil is.
Well, the queen is dead, so.
Yeah. Or is she?
I don't know.
Oh shit!
There was. All right, man. I'll let you go. I'll let you go right after.
Okay.
There was a joke. There was a joke that God sent his angels down to take the gray haired lady, the old lady home. So they came down, and they took the wrong. They took the wrong old lady home. It was, what's her name? She almost made it to 100. She died at 99. And then
Betty White.
They took Betty White and left the queen. They're supposed to take the queen and leave Betty White.
Remember that movie Down to Earth with Chris Rock? Yeah. They weren't supposed to take Chris Rock?
Yeah.
What the fuck, man?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
Fuck. Fucking Betty White. They took fucking Betty White
and left
Kenny Rogers.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
Kenny Rogers. Oh my God.
that dude died during the first like few months of the pandemic. He really knew when to fold them, huh?
Yeah. You didn't know when to quit, give up on that plastic surgery.
Well, got the money, go for it.
Oh yeah. But all right, man. You have fun.
All right, brother. You have a good night, man.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
Hey, David. Yeah. You stay frosty. You stay frosty, brother.
All right, you too.
Shit.